I'm going to be teaching tonight on cleansing your house and your land. And the reason that I'm going to be teaching this is I've just had a lot of people talk to me lately in the last months about different things that are going on in their houses and on properties. And I thought, well, you know, it's probably a good time to go back over this. I've taught it before, but you know, when you kind of go back and you reteach it, you add more to it and such. And so what I'm going to talk tonight about is not just, cleansing your houses, but how we can cleanse our land and our nation. Okay. Because this summer, well, you know, when Dr. Leon was here, he made a comment, you know, the, video that we had to advertise for the supernatural conferences, the Holy Spirit conference we were having, they were kind of joking about ghosts and Pastor Scott said, well, no, we're not talking about, the paranormal. We're talking about supernatural. And Dr. Leon made the comment concerning the supernatural that one time he'd got on and Googled supernatural and that so many things on spiritism and the occult and New Age and all that came up. And it was page after page after page of that. And finally he gets to the bottom and there's this thing on what Sid Roth has. It's supernatural. But his was way on the bottom. You see? And this is our nation. This is one nation under God. And it's not in dispute with God. You know, I love what Pastor Kevin says when he talks about our, out of Matthew, where it talks about, and in all of the Gospels, about a house that is built on the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. And this nation was built on Jesus Christ. You see, and it says that if the house is built on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on sand, and what is sand? Sand would be likened to what's counterfeit. Whatever the enemy wants to bring in. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit tonight as we go into what's in our homes. That's going to bring up a lot of things that we have in our homes that are counterfeit. And when we talk about counterfeits, it's what wants to appear as the real, but it's not. It's a counterfeit. So we have to be careful as believers that we don't let counterfeit come in to our midst. Because if we let counterfeit in, we're not going to have the real. And I want the real, you know? So anyway, I just thought that was real interesting. But, you know, Pastor Kevin had said about the fact that a house built on the rock would not fall and that the Lord had given them that. So you know what? This nation will not fall because this nation was built upon the rock, upon the word of God. Okay, this nation is one nation under God. Okay, but just like in how God is bringing deliverance back, and I am going to try to stay within my perimeters. They said if I would stay in my perimeters, I could be down here tonight. So I like being down here instead of up there. But anyway, I see I had to say that, and then I lost my place. Start over? Okay. Anyway, I can always do that. Going back though to the fact that it's kind of like we see deliverance coming back into the body of Christ. And I've said this before many, many times that they say, you know, some of the top ministers that deliverance will be one of the major ministries in the forefront of the end times. And that's because people need to be free. But in saying that, this is going to be an hour that the people of God are going to rise up and take back this nation. And we are going to take back our nation. Now, when I went to, Lou and I took the grandkids and went to Washington, D.C. this summer. And this is close. And then, you know, we went there. And years ago, when we were endeavoring to train for deliverance, you know, we were going around to different deliverance ministries, reading all sorts of things. And we ended up going up into Canada to... Well, we thought it was LL Ministries. It wasn't at that time because they did some switching, but it ended up being another. It started out LL when we signed up to go. By the time we got there, they'd switched ministries on us. So, you know, but it was still on deliverance. But when we went there, the interesting thing was, now this was in Canada, but a lot of the teachers that were there were Americans. and USA citizens, and they had some structures on what our whole of Washington, D.C., and the whole Capitol setting and all of the different buildings and stuff are set up in Washington, D.C. And it's, you know, if we do any sitting, we know basically so much of our country has been set up under Freemason type stuff, which is a counterfeit, all right? So when we are taking our tours in Washington, when we were there this summer, we went by the Washington Monument, which is in a Freemason obelisk. And it was real interesting because they said that it was the very first thing that was brought set up in Washington, D.C. Now, when we were driving around and listening to that, I thought, you stinking devil. He endeavored to set up his counterfeit right there from the very beginning. Now, if you remember about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Washington had an earthquake. And that thing cracked. Symbolic of God is going to take this nation back. Isn't that good? That false foundation, that counterfeit government cracked. And we couldn't go there because it was unsafe. They had it all fenced off and they were working to try to get this back. But you know, when the foundation of something like that is broken, you're never going to get it back. It's suffered. Okay. Isn't that good news? You know, so I thought, yeah, you know, you can set up your stuff, devil, but God's ready to take it down. Hallelujah. And, you know, as I, watch this, because so much of when you cleanse your property or you cleanse the land, it's basically not a whole lot different than us going through deliverance and cleansing out, our lives, okay? And it's time that the body go out and begin to cleanse herself so that we can be ready to go out and take back our nation. See, it's not a fight. And you know, it's real interesting because it's going to be easy. Do you know deliverance is easy, basically? It's not a hard thing. Once you go in and you break legal rights and there's repentance, normally, not all the time, but pretty most of the time, we can get people free without a whole lot of tearing, a whole lot of issues going on with that person to get them free. Okay? Because they've positioned themselves to say, devil, I don't want you anymore. So he really has to leave easily. You see, so when the body of Christ, who really, God founded this nation for people like ourselves to be free. And when we start taking back what belongs to God belongs to us. This is God's country. Okay, so it belongs to us. You see, so when we rise up and we begin to cleanse our own lives, and tonight when I'm talking about this, you're going to find out that it's more than, you know, coming here and for us to teach you some things and then you go, come out. But it's going to bring you into some places of accountability of getting some things out of your life. When the church starts getting cleaned up, the church has its power restored. See, God didn't remove the power. We watered it down. You see? And aren't you tired of a watered down church? You know, and I'll probably read this scripture tonight. If I don't, I'll read it later. But when Israel went into the land and God would warn them that there were certain things when they went out and they took cities that they were not to bring that accursed item back into the tents, to their dwelling places. And Israel no matter how many times they went out to battle, never was an Israelite killed until in Joshua chapter 7 when they went into Ai and Achan brought back to the camp and put it in his tent, in his home, things that were devoted to be cursed. And he affected the entire camp. So let me tell you this, we affect one another. See, when we're talking family, we're not just talking, you know, me and my husband and my kids and da-da-da-da. We are a family in Christ. The church is. And so we need to all be of one heart, be of one mind, and realize that it's time we begin to cleanse our lives. Begin to cleanse and remove things that we've allowed into our lives. And, you know, sometimes people just think, oh, yeah, that's, you know, Bev Tucker's going on again. Well, when I got saved, I didn't know anything. But yet the Holy Ghost started telling me I needed to get rid of my country western music, my cigarettes. I didn't drink much alcohol, but it was removed also. I don't think any occult things, I don't think. But you know what? It was the simplicity of I could hear the Holy Ghost, and he was saying, remove things out of your life that'll hinder you. Okay? And see, we as the church need to start, you know, we have become almost desensitized and allowed ourselves to be put into like a slumber when it comes to the things of the world. And when we let the things of the world come in, they affect our fire. Because it's a false fire. It's a counterfeit. It's a false offering, you see. And so if you look back, you'll see over and over and over again that God was always forbidding the Israelites to participate in the things, the idolatry of the world system, because it removed them from looking to him. So when we allow things to come in, we will allow the presence of that, because what we come into agreement is what we're going to have. Okay, so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. Some of the stuff I'm going to talk about is kind of heavy. I'm going to share some things from Peter Horben's book on cleansing the land, which is, he's got some real interesting things. Peter Horben, which is one of the books I recommend as reading. But he gets into how actually you cleanse land and buildings. And then he likens that to your houses. But his part that I'm going to share more is going to be just on cleansing land. And when I was studying that, what I was thinking about is, you know, how we can begin to cleanse this land, our nation. We can, from here, okay, and bring down spiritual forces, because it's the body of Christ. And we're going to get into the legalities of what belongs to us and what doesn't belong to us. I don't have authority to go into someone else's house if they want and remove their idols or their music or whatever that they have. That's their choice. But it's probably also their demons too, okay? But you won't get a demon out lest of someone else. See, deliverance is more your responsibility than it is for us to cast it out of you. All we do is become a voice in that to lead you, but this is your house, and what you want to keep, you'll keep it. But see, then that brings us back again to this nation is our nation. It belongs to our Father. It is one nation under God, and God is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. You see? And so when you go, it'd be interesting just to go to Washington, D.C. When we were up in Canada, they wouldn't give us the papers, but it shows how everything throughout that whole city is set up for Masons and how things are in the shape of the triangle. And I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. And for us back then, we were just getting into this ministry and didn't pay as much attention to it probably as we should have. But going back to Washington this summer and seeing all the Freemasonry that is there, that's heavy stuff. You know, because Freemasonry is probably one of the most Luciferian doctrinal teachings there is out there. It's wicked. It's evil. But it covers itself up and makes itself look good and helpful, because the occult always hides. But as we were driving around, we were riding on this bus on the top of it, and so we could see everything and let them tell us what was going on. But when we got to the Washington Monument, and they said that was the first thing that was erected in Washington, D.C. And I thought, oh, you stinking devil. See, he knew what he was doing, you see, but we need to know who we are. You know, and like I said earlier, God shook that. It cracked. And that is a sign to us that this false system is coming down. Okay, God is faithful. Anyway, in talking about some different various things, I'm going to just go into how you can rid your home of spiritual darkness. I'm going to tell you some stories. Some of the stories that I'm going to tell you are going to be from church here, or people we've ministered to here. And but I'm not sharing names with you. But they're just some things that have happened and things that have been where people have come and said, you know, there's just even last Sunday I had someone come up to me and say their year-and-a-half-year-old is grandchild is dealing with seeing things in her bedroom and knowing that there's stuff in. So I was asking some different questions as to why that was there. But the parents are watching horror movies on a regular basis. You see, so that opens up the door, fear, you know, and she wake up in the night screaming and kicking and seeing things. And that's not uncommon. Little children are very sensitive to the spiritual realm, very sensitive. And where, you know, we've become kind of desensitized and we began to be very desensitized when we began to open the doors. It's like the homosexual agenda. Everywhere you go, you will see that agenda every place. Why? Because you could take 20 years ago or even 10, 15 years ago, and people were more appalled at that, where today it's becoming where we're seeing it all the time, that we become desensitized to that. And now what we deal with more, this is heavy, is bisexuality. People think it's okay to go either way. If you go either way, it's still homosexuality. It's still perversion. You see, but we've become desensitized, and it's in the house of God, folks. It's in the house of God. You see, so why does that kind of stuff happen? Because it's kind of like what Dr. Leon said, you know, the supernatural is way down here. The real supernatural. But what hinders that from being up in the forefront? We do. We do. When we, because remember what I just said, we all affect one another. So if you got a little handful over here, and you will get, I mean, we have miracles happening here all the time, but we need the floodgates opened. That's what God wants. Okay? And this place has destiny on it, so let us not hinder the God-given destiny on this house. Praise God. Amen. Okay, demons cover their existence by deception so that people concentrate on what they see or how they feel, and they overlook the spiritual causes of the demonic. Some reasons that Christians are unaware of demonic activity, and you know, a lot of you are new, so I'm just going to go over this again. Some of you have heard my stuff forever and ever, but just bear with it. Some of the reasons that Christians are unaware of demonic activity, and it is out there, whether you think it is or not. I can remember when we first got into the deliverance ministry, which was not by choice. We did not decide, oh, we want to do this. It was kind of like it was dumped in our laps by the Lord, but there was all sorts of things that people would come and tell me, and I'd say, no, I don't believe that. And the poor people would be like, but it's happening. I go, no, 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 I don't believe in it. You know, and I just send them home. Because I didn't think some of the stuff they were telling me was really happening, but it was. Okay, I had to learn a lot. Okay, but what happens is that so many people are unaware of what's really going on in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is very, very active. Okay. And it's active both in a good way on God is active, but it's also active on the negative. And it can only be as active in the negative really as we allow it. Okay. So when we quit allowing, we will begin to set precedents. You know, isn't that a challenge that Life Church set precedence in the spirit realm by beginning to cleanse themselves and move forward in the things of God so that we're not going to have a miracle here or a miracle there. And we've had some awesome miracles. We were just talking about them Wednesday morning, you know, and didn't even have enough time to share all this stuff. But God, again, like I said, He has miracles for everybody. And let the word get out that Life Church knows how to get a hold of God. You see, then we will have the release. Go back and you can read over and over again that nothing ever hindered the Israelites till they let idolatry come in. Till they allowed the 9 forbidden practices of God to come into the camp. That's when they were hindered. Because Jesus has brought the enemy to nothing, hasn't he? Okay, first, number one thing is people have a fear of demons, so they deny their existence. Then secondly, there's a lack of spiritual discernment. And this lack of spiritual discernment, I believe, comes because we can allow ourselves to become dull spiritually. We come to the place where we actually leave our first love, you know. And sometimes, you know, when we should really, the Bible says to examine yourself to see that you be in the faith. And it doesn't mean that you have to have goosebumps and all that to be excited about the Lord. But it does mean that, you know, I always like to liken my walk with God to like my marriage. My marriage should only get better, and we should just be going, the roots of our love for each other should just go deeper and deeper, and it's the same way with God. Okay, so I couldn't think of anybody that I'd rather have than Lou Tucker. You know, he's my sweetheart. But see, in that same aspect, then, we shouldn't want any other God. Any other supernatural, any other one to look to but Jesus. Amen? See, so that's where how you keep him your first love. And when we don't, we lack spiritual discernment. And I really believe that the biggest threat of allowing all this stuff to come into our lives is that it dulls us. And if we're dull in our spiritual discernment, then we open up the doors. Okay, also modern teaching avoids or denies the subject of demonic activity. Some modern teaching denies the subject of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you know. But most churches, we are a rare church. We really are that teaches that we need deliverance. It's, you know, it's really kind of interesting because, and I love this, but we are having Assembly of Gods come and want to find, other Assembly of Gods, find out what we're doing about the deliverance here. Because God is opening up their eyes to see that they have people that need freedom in their churches, you know, and it's not an issue of, well, Christians can't have demons. Yeah, they can. You know, we can have things in our life. Okay, and then also, our first century faith has largely been replaced by 20th century rationalism, and our Western mindsets keep us from validating that which cannot be explained except through scientific study. And I truly believe when I looked at all the stuff that's in Washington, look what's coming out of Washington today. Look at all the anti-God, the anti-Christ things that we deal with. As believers, we need to understand that there is often an invisible spiritual force behind a visible object. That's one way that the demonic operates. And we're going to talk a lot about, as we go through this, objects. And we think of demonic objects like maybe a Buddhist statue or some of these false gods that they have over in India. We have them right in our own home. We've brought them into our own house. And I'll go through that and give you some ideas of what they are. Some of you know what they are. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here, Paul implies that there is more is more than what we can see, than what we need, that we can be aware of. And more that we can, in other words, perceive with our five natural senses. If you think the spirit world depends upon whether you can sense it or not, although you will sense the spiritual realms. You will. It's kind of like coming into the house of God and sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like sometimes you can go into places that are dark and you can sense that coldness. You can sense an evil presence there. Okay? So it does involve our senses. But we should have a knowledge of what's correct and what's not. We should have such a discerning in our spirit man that whether I feel, you know, how many of you always feel God all the time? You don't, do you? But do you believe in him? He's still just as real, isn't he? And he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So therefore, whether you feel you're all ooey gooey with God or not, doesn't make a difference. You've got God. But in that same difference, just because maybe you can't see something, you know, you should be able to know between darkness and light. We should be able to discern between those two. Okay. Demonic spirits are masters of disguise. They can inhabit people. They can inhabit objects. They can inhabit portions of land, whole territories, buildings, houses. They can inhabit the heavenlies. They can inhabit high places, depending on upon whatever is their purpose. They do not care about what they inhabit as long as they can attain their assigned objectives. And spirits are assigned certain objectives. And I was going to, I don't know, maybe I stuck it over here, read to you some of the different things that I have here that people in just right even here that have dealt with. We have one couple that we've ministered to here. And when I'm talking about lands and houses, they've had to go over their property a number of times to get it cleansed. It hasn't been an easy thing for them. They've had things manifesting in their home. They've had things manifesting on the property. And the property had been, they believe, an Indian graveyard. That ought to tell you something. There's a lot more to graveyards than what we think there is. You know, the graveyards are used for a lot of witchcraft and a lot of demonic stuff. But they will inhabit lands, buildings, properties. Okay, and I don't tell you this to scare you, but I tell you this for the sake of that if you have certain things that you're sensing in your home that aren't right, you can get rid of those things. And I'm not just talking about throwing out an object. I'm talking about throwing out a spirit, you know. And once, you know, if it's come in from an object that you've brought in, well, just remove the object and then cast out the spirit. You can't just remove the object, but you need to also cast out the spirit that you let come in through that. But if there's just a presence there that has come in from maybe past residents or, you know, people that have lived there before, or things that have happened in the house, you still, if it's yours, you have the authority to cancel those things and remove them, all right? So this is what this family is doing, and their place has gotten a whole lot better, okay? Whether they're 100% there or not right now, I don't know. I was talking with some of them last week, and sounds like there still might be a little bit, but they've been working to do that, and they had seen things that symbolized like the Grim Reaper in their home. They saw things that would pass like shadows in their homes, you know, and this all started with their children. And what happened was the family began to be dysfunctional, you see. So, you know, a lot of times the dysfunctions in our families is because of things that have been released maybe in the generations or, you know, things that come in from maybe where people have lived. And you know, some of us sit here and think, well, not me. It's just these are just stories of other people. But there are stories of a lot of other people, A lot of people deal with this type of stuff. When we first got saved, we moved into a house. We were just brand new Christians, and we moved into a house that had spirits in it, bad ones, and which I'll probably share a little more on it later, but it was a place where false religion was practiced, okay? And so false religions also can open the door to the demonic. That's why when you know, sometimes you have to choose to pick your battles, okay? Sometimes, like if you know there's a place that maybe has had demonic stuff in it and whatever, but you want that piece of property or whatever, you know, maybe you should check out with the Lord first and see if you should buy that property. Amen. You know, because otherwise, you know, you're going to need to go in and do some house cleaning. And you don't always just get rid of those things super easy. Okay. You can get rid of them if it's yours. Okay. But sometimes there's a battle, because what another thing that you need to learn to do is to learn how to discern. And you need to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is so crucial in us with hearing from Him to know what we have to deal with. Okay. That's why even in deliverance, you know, we have manuals and, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So it's kind of the same old, but there's a lot of times when we go in with pray with people that we'll have the basics, but then the Holy Spirit fills in all of the rest. Okay. He'll give you exactly. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, how did you know that was there? I didn't tell you that. Well, we didn't, but the Holy Spirit did. Okay. So those were things. And, you know, what happened to our family was horrible. And we were a real dysfunctional family for a long time, never knowing why we were so dysfunctional. And that sounds awful, but, you know, sometimes do you ever wonder why we, maybe some of you don't. I mean, some of you probably are just perfect. But do you ever wonder why your kids act like they do? Or all this stuff is like, God, what are we doing wrong? You know? And that's how we were. It was like, Lord, we're trying to do everything right. We're good people. I mean, we were on fire for Jesus. We were doing nothing but, you know, like I said, the first thing I did was we cleansed out all the music we had, you know, quit. We even worked on not fighting and having strife in our house. I mean, anything that God was displeased with went. See, and if I could discern, even as a new Christian, what was good and what wasn't, you know, we should be able to figure these things out. But anyway, let me go back to my notes. Okay, things like spiritual forces, because we're talking about property, homes, places that we live, and then I want you to take it from there out into this nation, okay? Because the reason I'm saying I want you to take it out into the nation, because I believe it is an hour that we need to cleanse the nation. Okay, we need to begin to provoke a shifting in this country. And it's going to be the church that's going to do it. It's going to be the house of God that's going to cause this shift in the nation. It's not going to be political leaders. It's like, oh my goodness, look what we have this year. I am not a person that doesn't say stuff. I say, you know, let me just tell you, okay? So, and I get myself into trouble, but that's nothing new. So, Mormonism, which is the lesser of the two evils here that we deal with. Principle. We're going to have to look at some principles, I guess, because that's apparently, unless God raises up Pastor Kevin and he starts running for office. Wouldn't that be good? Maybe we ought to pray about that. Anyway, I'm just kidding, Pastor Kevin. Anyway, Kenneth Hagin Jr., our senior, tells a story of when he was young in the ministry. And you know, Kenneth Hagin Sr. was one of the most powerful ministers that has just literally set the atmosphere of the majority of the church world today. And he went out on, he went to Utah, to Salt Lake City, and they went on to where they have the big Mormon temple. And when his son, remember I told you, children are very sensitive to spiritual forces. When his son, he writes, it's in one of his books, when his son was on the ground. His son was attacked on the physically on the ground and went into almost like what a seizure would be. And they had to get him off that property to get him free. Isn't that interesting? You know? When we lived in this house that we lived in, which, again, like I said, it was a false religion. So I liken all these. There's cults. Cults are false religions. And then you have the occult, which is the just the practice of the worship of Satan. It's blatant worship of Satan. But cults are more almost, they're not as, they're deceptive, I guess would be a really good way. It's like a little snake that comes in. And people will get into different religions that are like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons. Freemason is not done openly as a religion, although they've rewritten a lot of the Bible. They're more like to get in to help your business and whatever. And Freemasonry, when you get into the higher levels, is nothing more than major occult witchcraft. But when we, you know, I was talking about what Kenneth Hagin experienced at this place. When we lived in that house, we openly experienced manifestations of the demonic. And there was like, it was Rosicrucian was the religion that was practiced in that home. In fact, the people who owned, which we didn't find out till after we bought it. And we were like, when we got saved, I thought there was God, Jesus, and the devil. And that was it. I didn't know anything else. So when we got a rude awakening though, very quickly. And so we move on this property and we were always afraid. And it was not a little bit of fear. It was like ice cold fear. I mean, it wasn't like being afraid of something. Like you would be afraid if you went out in the street where there's all this traffic that you might get hit. That's probably a good healthy afraid. But this fear that we would experience on this property would be way beyond what you could imagine. It was like cold and it was dark. It was such a dark, cold fear. And the garage was detached from the house. So we had three kids and Lou and I and the kids would get out of the car because we hardly ever parked in the garage. We just park it on the property and then we'd all run to the house. And we're adults. We're running to the house because you could feel this luminous fear all around you. And we're like, what is going on here? And we didn't know what was going on. We just were feeling these things. And, one night we were, and see, we were really on fire for Jesus. We just gotten saved, just got filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can imagine that all hell was breaking loose in this house. With us in that house. Because we were going around pleading the blood of Jesus, speaking in tongues. Oh my goodness, we were like nonstop speaking in tongues because it was so glorious. I mean, we just said, ah, wow. You know, that's what we should be doing now. We should be as excited about the Holy Ghost today as when we first were filled. Hallelujah. But anyway, we would get like this bad odor that would come out of the register and it would smell like a dead animal. And we would, then the girl that led me to the Lord, she would come over and I'd say, her name was Bev. I said, Bev, get down there and smell that. When she'd smell it, it wouldn't manifest. It would wait till she was gone. So, you know, so it's like, okay, so is this real or not? You know, I can remember one night laying in bed and this black furry thing slithered across my face and it was so dark. I couldn't see it. But I could see it. So I knew what it was. Within 3 months of us moving into that house, it burned to the ground. And we lost everything we had, except what we had stored in the garage, which wasn't too much. And the story is much more in-depth than I'm going to even share with you. But what was in that house followed us for many, many years afterwards. And I would say to the Lord sometimes because of things that were happening in our family that we couldn't figure out why they were happening in our family. And I can remember the very first time I ever heard Kenneth Copeland. Oh, I loved him. He was talking about binding the devil. And that just went into my spirit, you know. But we would go to pastors and we'd say, we think things have followed us from that house. And they would poo-poo us. And they just, you know, like, no, no. But they did. And they caused a lot of dysfunction in our home. All sorts of things. But anyway, I would say to the Lord, I have never questioned God ever since I became a believer. I've never thought God was wrong in doing, God never misses it. Okay. I have never been a believer that says, God, why did you do this to me? Because he doesn't do evil to us. But I used to think, God, I am going to ask you when I get there, why did you let us move into that house? Because we were your babies, you know? But the deliverance ministry that we have today came out of finally finding somebody to help us get out of the mess of what had ended up happening in that house. See, now, did God set us up? No, God didn't set us up. The enemy set us up. But in that, you talk about a good slap in the face. You know, we have slapped the devil in the face over and over and over and over with the ministry that came out of our needing to find freedom. Took us a long time before we could finally find somebody who would say, yeah, you probably do have some demons, which sounds awful, but nobody thought we did, and we knew we did. But someplace this dysfunction had to come. Because we were sure living for God in our lives. Remember I told you, we got rid of all the junk, but junk came in. And it was hidden, so it was able to do a lot of underlying work. And I'll share probably more as I go in on about that. But it was hell for probably, I would say, I'd have to sit down and really, really figure it, but I bet 15 good years before. Because what happened in the very beginning, it was just, it hid, and it subtly did a work in our family. And then as it began, see, when the demonic is allowed to stay, this is why you want to uproot things. When the demonic is allowed to stay, its roots go down. Just like the longer you are a believer, the stronger you should be becoming in Christ. Our roots should go down. The Bible tells us that. And that's why, you know, I love the fact that we have a Bible school here. I came and listened to the Bible school here. Actually, I've listened to the last two Wednesday nights on doctrine. And oh my goodness, this is good that we have this kind of classes, because that helps every one of us for our roots to go down. But in the same aspect, when we don't deal with issues in our lives, those underlying things, the roots go down. So when you finally get around, if you've been stubborn and obstinate, especially, or if you play around with sin or whatever, those things then may be a little bit harder for you to uproot them. It's just like a weed. The longer you leave a weed, if you pull it out in the beginning, it goes easy. But if you let it build, you might have to get a spade, shovel, and dig it out to get it out. So you get its roots out. Well, that's kind of what it happened with us, is at first it was very subtle, and so we didn't recognize it until we began to have, especially with one of our children, very adverse behavior. And then even then, we disciplined him rather than understanding he needed to have demons cast out of him. And that is why I always tell parents, especially when I do my series on children, is that you don't discipline demons, you cast them out. Okay, you can't spank a demon out of a child. Now, there's a time that your child may need a spanking, okay, but you don't discipline demons. The Bible says to cast them out. Bible says you don't counsel demons, you cast them out. That's why people who go to counselors all the time, and they go for 2, 3, 4 years, and they come to us and they're no better. We just had a young woman who did, and I'll probably share her story too. That's a powerful story. Went to all sorts of psychiatrists I'm gonna have to ask her first if I can share her story here, but she came to us and we got her free. And she not only has gotten so radically free, it's affecting her whole family now because they're seeing a girl that is no longer depressed, that's not paranoid, that's not become like a person that just wants to stay in her house and not function. She's functioning. She's full of the Lord. She's excited. And that's because Jesus said, get rid of them. Cast them out, okay? But when we allow these things, they root in our lives, and that is why we need to get them out. And that's what sometimes, too, why deliverance can be a process. But we still need to be willing to do that. Okay, I'm going to try to keep within a time frame, so I need to get busy here and go back to my notes. All right, okay. The demonic then can inhabit people, objects, portions of land, territories, buildings, houses, high places, depending upon whatever purpose they've been assigned to do. Again, like if they're assigned to propagate a false religion, they will definitely operate in people's lives and in buildings both. They can access lives or buildings, property through sin, trauma, victimization, witchcraft, occult practices, cursing, and when I say cursing, I'm not talking about swearing, I'm talking about curses being specifically pronounced over lands or buildings, and then they can also come in from generational things. We do not want to be fascinated with the demonic, but we need to be aware of what it is, how the demonic operates in order so that we can free our families and cleanse the land, cleanse our homes of spiritual darkness. John 16:33 says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it, this is amplified, of its power to harm you. So when God is talking about the world there being deprived of its power to harm you, he is talking about demonic forces. Okay? He has literally deprived demonic forces of harming us. All right. Now, we all know this is an interesting thing, and this would be a good analogy. If Jesus defeated the enemy, and we know that he did, we know that he brought him to nothing, made a bold display of him, disarmed him. Okay, that's Colossians 2:15, triumphed over him in the cross, and Hebrews 2:14. And there's lots of other ones. I'm not going to go into a lot of them, but if we know that he did that, just like the scripture I just read you, he said, be of good cheer, for I've deprived the enemy of his power to harm you, but yet we know that we deal with some harm in our lives. Am I not right? Okay, so if that's the case, and Jesus really did deprive the enemy of his power to harm us, let me ask you this. What did he give us authority for if we don't need to be using it? Okay, when people come and argue this whole deliverance thing with me, this is how I feel about arguing deliverance. I will no more argue deliverance with you than I will argue the fact that you need the Holy Ghost, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't want the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't worry, you won't get him. But you will deprive yourself of one of the greatest gifts that we have that Jesus gave us. There's no one like him. Oh, my goodness. But that would be your loss. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to argue with you. Would pray for you, but I'm not arguing over the Holy Spirit. He's too wonderful to argue over. But on the second corner, you know, if you don't want to believe that you can deal with the demonic, then you can keep your demons too. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to fight with you on that corner either. Or if you think I'm wrong, then that's okay. You can think I'm wrong too. That's okay. I can handle that. The reason I can handle it because I've had too many experiences of being able to set people free and watch their lives change. You see? So either way, let me ask you this. Why would Jesus say, behold, I give you authority, power to rule, over all of the power that the enemy has, and nothing by any means shall harm you? Well, nothing by any means shall harm us if we take that authority and rule over the power the enemy has. Because the enemy has power, but he does not have authority. Now, that doesn't mean the enemy won't attack you, But in the attack, you have authority. Okay? And so just like when you go out to battle in war, there'll be some skirmishes, there'll be different things where you have to take the ground, and you might not take the ground immediately, but you begin to progress. And whether you see yourself progressing or not, if you are taking the word of God, you are progressing. You are taking back land. You're taking back territory. You see? So when we begin to start dealing with different, you know, whether, and maybe some of you, those that are here tonight, have nothing going on in your homes or whatever, well, that's great. But I might be giving you some information that you can use to help other people with. Okay? Because it's not about us. Okay? And in this last day, I guarantee you, you're going to be engaged in this, whether you like it or not. Because God will bring people to you that need help. Okay, so he's given us this authority. Also, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Our focus is always to be on Jesus, but we don't want to go around blinded. Jesus did not go around blinded. He did not ignore the fact that we have an enemy. He acknowledged him, okay? He dealt with him, and he dealt with him in the authority of the Father. We deal with him in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same way. Okay. All right. I'm going to read you some stories. I think. Let me see what time it is. It's almost time to go. Let me just give you this. Okay, these are some things that would help you maybe in the fact of, does my home need prayer? I'm going to wind this down in about 5 minutes because it's almost 8:30. So I'm going to try to keep the classes within a time frame. Okay, there's always a great deal of benefit in praying through a home for the purpose of consecrating it or setting it apart for the Lord. By doing this, you may or may not encounter spiritual darkness that needs to be dealt with. I, after living in that house, have never moved into a house without praying for it after that. I learned big time that you need to cleanse houses. You need to cleanse hotel rooms you sleep in. We'll get into that a little bit more as we go. We never know what has gone on prior to where we go, okay? So if you're going to go there and dwell there for any amount of time, you really should cleanse it, and you can. Okay, okay, there are indicators as to whether or not a home or a building needs to be cleansed of spiritual darkness. And this is a list of some different things that would help understand that the atmosphere could be polluted in a home. And these are things that we actually have people come to us on a pretty regular basis with some of this stuff going on. But ongoing illnesses, never ill until all of a sudden they move into a home and then they're dealing with all these illnesses. Continual dreams and nightmares. Those are big, especially for children where parents have allowed the demonic to come in through toys, through movies, there. I ministered to someone who was so enamored with paranormal, with ghosts, and watching the paranormal movies, and their house was fine until they started doing this. All of a sudden, they started having doors shutting and opening, and this is something that had never happened in their home until they started watching, literally on TV, paranormal movies, TV shows, ghosts, all that different stuff. Doors started shutting and opening. Things started falling off of their kitchen. Dishes would be on the cupboard and they'd fall off and break. The children started getting violent with each other. You know, all of these different things started happening. So then they came for prayer. And to start with, it was a little difficult for them to get out of it because they loved the paranormal movies. You see, so there are times we have to decide which is, you know, sometimes people can lose their lives over this kind of stuff. They really can. So we have to be careful. I know of 3 different incidences that's happened. Okay, insomnia, person who cannot sleep ever. Could be. And please, just because I'm, you might have insomnia. If you have insomnia, it could be a different thing than your house. Okay. But it could be the house too. So you may need to pray through your house. You need to do more than just go in and bless your home and consecrate it to God. Okay. First thing you want to do is cast out the stuff, then bless it, and then consecrate it to the Lord. All right. So you first want to clean it. You don't want God to come into a dirty house, right? Okay, you clean the house spiritually. Okay, behavioral problems. Remember I said we got real dysfunctional? I mean, we did too. I mean, probably worse than what we would have been normally, but we still dealt with and you know, when I was ministering to a family the other day, and this is what it made me remember how dysfunctional we were. And once we started hoeing this stuff out of our lives, it took us a while to get it out. But this family has had so much, this other family, was this dysfunction with their children and things going wrong in their family and in their home. And as I was ministering to them, it just brought back to me the memories of what we had dealt with for so many years, and wanting to put your finger on it and not being able to figure it out because we were so ignorant, blinded, dumb to the spirit realm. And we were, you know, and it's kind of like almost like a veil over your eyes to the spirit world, even though we were spirit-filled believers until we started getting free. And when we got free, we were able to begin to discern and understand the depths of what we were dealing with. You see, and a lot of times there's literal depths of things that you deal with. Okay, you can have relational problems, continual fighting and arguing. There's no peace, restless, disturbed children, unexplained illnesses and bondages. Ghosts are demonic apparitions to which, again, children are particularly susceptible. The thing that's interesting there, too, is let me tell you this. Children are not only sensitive to this, but they're also easier accessed by the demonic, you see. So when we open doors up, you know, what really concerns me is when I have a parent come and tell me that their little one is seeing things in the house, or that they moved into this house and then all this weird stuff is going on in the house. Well, guess who's going to be the one the enemy will target? Is the easiest victims, right? Those are children. You see, so when people come and tell me that, I know immediately their children need deliverance, because whatever was in the house accesses the children first. I've never known it to be any other way than that. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but basically that is why it's so important to cleanse a house or not open up doors to allow things into a home. So even though children are more sensitive to that and probably can see things, they're also very susceptible to it. Poltergeists, which is, again, the movement of physical objects by demonic spirits in the home, like this one where I told you where they were watching the poltergeist movies, and are those movies with the ghosts, and then all of a sudden things started moving, lights turning off and on. That's common. I hear people tell that all the time. They have lights going off and on in their house. The music turns on, you know, that type of stuff on, or the TVs turn on for no reason. They just, you know, and it's because there's those demonic forces in operation. And again, if they weren't in operation in your life and then you move, or all of a sudden they start up in your home, things like that cannot just start up in your home lest there's a door opened. All right, so that might tell you if you were fine and then all of a sudden you got doors or something happens, it's a door. Foul and unexplainable odors, having odors or smells. Remember I told you we would always have this odor of something coming up out of the register. The atmosphere of heaviness, making it hard to breathe. Nauseousness and headaches. And he says here, if you are experiencing any of these things on an ongoing basis, then ask the Lord to reveal any spiritual darkness that might be in your home. Remember that Jesus has given us authority over these things, and he is far greater than any force that might come against you. So you, there's no need to be ever afraid of these kinds of things because Jesus has given us authority. I am not going to, I have got actually some prayers, and we do have them out there tonight. And I'm going to also give you some more steps on different things that you should do if you're cleansing your home, okay? And if you've never cleansed your home, I would do it. I would do it, okay? Just for the sake of doing it. But two of the prayers that I use, there's an actual one out there that is for the cleansing of homes. But we've also got one called the daily prayer covering. And when I go into somebody's house to pray over their house for deliverance or business or whatever, I like to pray that whole prayer and take authority, because that's got a lot of different things, like breaking any curses, hexes, vexes, spells, jinx, incantations, prayers that have been prayed against maybe that place. And there, that does happen. When I taught a couple years ago on, and I brought the book, it's called Entertaining Spirits Unaware. And the reason I brought it was because it shows the nine practices, the nine forbidden practices that we are forbidden to be involved with in as believers. And I was going to go into that, and I will next week. But the thing of it is that's important to understand is that when I shared that last time, I had contacted someone in this area who deals with covens and people involved in the high-level Satanism in this area. And we have it in this area. It's all over this area. And for us to think it's not would be foolish. For us to fear it would also be foolish, okay? But for us to also involve ourselves in arenas, I don't seldom ever deal with it because I'm not called to do it. So I'm smart. I'm not going out into an arena where I'm not, unless God sends me, sent. Because if I do, I'll tell you a story maybe next week about that. If I do, I'm in my flesh. Therefore, I have stepped out of the will of God in my life. I don't want to do that and take on witches. You know, am I afraid of witches? No. Have I dealt with them? Yes. But only when I've had to deal with them in God's arena. In fact, we prayed with someone last week who was in divination and actually had a voice that spoke out of them. Not where we were there with them, but would converse with demons and was just taken over actually as a child. And this voice would speak out of him, which was nothing more than divination, you see. So can we deal with that? Sure we can. And if God sets it up, fine. You know, did we get a whole lot accomplished for him? Absolutely. We're not done with him, you know. But you need to be led by the Spirit of God, but yet we don't want to be ignorant of the devices. So if we cleanse ourselves of these things and things in our homes that we shouldn't have doors open, okay, we become such a mighty force to be reckoned with. And once, because there's no force on earth that even can come close to the force of Jesus Christ. And that's who lives in us, you see? So when we know who we are in Christ, and we are doing what we need to do to get our lives cleansed and allow God to progressively show us whatever we need to do, and we're willing to lay it down, my goodness, are we mighty before the Lord? Because then we've not watered down who we are, you see. And we don't want to do that, because that's what we are called to, take back the land. And the church will take back this nation. Free. I've dealt with Freemasonry before, and it's awful stuff. But Jesus is greater than Freemasonry. And though Satan had a plan for this country, God had his plan first. And God established this country first. And this country has been founded on the rock. And so the Bible says if it's founded on the rock, it'll stand. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. But, you know, we have to go in and take back some things sometimes. So I'm going to quit tonight. There's stuff out there on the table, and I'll have more next week. You can take it home and pray. I don't care. If you want to go pray over your property with what's out there, go ahead and do it. And then come back and listen, and you'll probably get some more stuff you want to go out and pray again. Okay? You can pray over your property more than once. You know, it's kind of like this family I told you about. They've been progressively taking and cleansing back because they really dealt with some huge, huge stuff. So they went back numbers of time, and they've been just literally getting it better and better and better. And that's kind of like us. You know, we deal with people and we do deliverance sessions, and we might need to do 2-3 of them, you know, and then say, come to class now and keep working on this yourself, because there can be things that we have in our lives where, whether it's been, whether we have willingly submitted to those things or done it ignorantly, we can take back those areas in our life, you see. And we take them back as we get rid of one thing or two things or whatever, and then we begin to understand how to take back what rightfully belongs us, even in our own lives, okay? So I just pray God's blessing over you tonight. I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord give you peace. May his face shine upon you. I pray that you would have a revelation and an understanding and a comprehension of who you are in Christ. I pray that you would understand that as he is, so are you in this world. I pray that you will understand that you are right with God, that you could not get any better, that when God opens up the books on every single one of you, there's not going to be anything there because the blood has so cleansed you. And I pray that God would reveal to you any area of your life that he has said that we shouldn't maybe participate with. And I just pray that you'd be willing to release those things. I pray that you would have a vision of who you can be and what you can do in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you would have a vision of the high calling of God. And when I say vision, I just don't mean seeing things, but in your heart, you would have this knowing of the greatness that's in you, the greatness of who you are in Christ Jesus, and that you were set forth on this earth for this day and this hour to do a mighty work in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're done for tonight.